Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Monday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. Along with Sam Rohr and David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl, and we are delighted to have you with us today for another edition of Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. I want to encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, and learn more about this growing ministry as well as the other two radio programs that we produce from the American Pastors Network. But we are delighted to be back with you today. And Sam, I trust you had a great weekend.
Gary, I did. It was a great weekend. I was able to participate on Saturday with a very nice prayer gathering in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, right where George Washington knelt and prayed there for our country. And there were a number of folks that were there, and that was just quite a nice time. And I understand you were a part of a prayer gathering as well, Gary.
Well, yeah, on Friday evening, actually, here in Altoona, Pennsylvania, where I live, there was a memorial for the 9/11 anniversary, actually, and I had the privilege of participating in that, and so that was always something like that is always a blessing, and I enjoy being involved with those things, and thank the Lord for the privilege. David Kistler, I guess you had a great weekend as well.
Gary, I did. I'm in Greencastle, Indiana at the Seedline International Conference. Seedline is a Bible distributing ministry. They have done all the material that we have used in Washington, D.C. in our D.C. ministry, and they have an annual conference. And this is my second time to be here, and we had a wonderful start yesterday and are here through Wednesday. So, yeah, it was just an absolutely tremendous weekend.
They do a tremendous job in their ministry out there of getting out the Word of God and related items, and you know, you just let them know that here at the American Pastors Network, we really appreciate the ministry that they have. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd encourage you to stay tuned today because we're going to be having with us a pastor who his name is Pastor Gason Thomas. I'm not exactly sure how you pronounce that name. Sam, maybe you can give us just a little bit of an introduction as to who he is and why people need to stay tuned to hear him.
Gary, absolutely. Yeah, we're really thrilled to have with us Pastor Gason Thomas.
And Gason.
He is from Iraq. He's a pastor from Iraq. He is currently ministering to refugees and has been traveling around the country here trying to alert people to what is happening there. And we are thrilled to have him on today on the program because there are a lot of things that we're wanting to hear about the plight of Christians in Iraq and in the Middle East and what's really happening there. And he'll bring us up to date in the second segment, so people really want to stay tuned to this.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You won't want to leave the radio or the computer. Well, Sam and Dave, it's interesting to see how the current presidential election is building up, I guess I should say, the way the candidates are really playing back and forth with each other. It seems like every day something new comes along. And, of course, according to SRN News, Ben Carson now leads Hillary Clinton among likely voters, 51% to 46%. And, of course, that means he is now ahead of Donald Trump to a certain degree. On the same subject, Rick Perry dropped out of the race. And so, Sam, it's just interesting to see how things are coming together here as we draw closer and closer to 2016.
Well, Gary, it is. And that's why we try to update and keep up to speed on these things on this program, and sometimes spending just a very little time, like this morning, but just to say things are changing. The circumstances of the world are changing. Our economic conditions are changing how people are thinking, and certainly all the candidates, as they're vying for some kind of position, are trying as well. But you're going to be seeing candidates. Rick Perry was the first one of this long list to drop out. The fact of the matter is, the longer we go where you have a couple of the candidates, Trump or Carson, so for instance, as way ahead, the others just can't get traction and can't even raise enough money to support their campaigns. I think you're going to see a number of the other ones begin dropping out and following Rick Perry's lead.
I think so, too. And do you have any prediction, Dave Kistler, who the next one might be that would drop out?
Well, Gary, to be honest with you, let me say this before I make my prediction. I think it's interesting that Ben Carson is experiencing a bump in his poll numbers. I don't know if any of that's tied to Rick Perry's departure from the field. It could be. There could be some people that would normally support Rick that now have thrown their support behind Ben. It's just I'm not sure exactly when that last poll was conducted, if it was post, you know, Perry's departure or prior. But the bottom line is this. I think probably one of the next ones to go out someone like a Scott Walker. The reason I say that is this: I know some people think Scott Walker is going to be in it for the long haul, but Scott is in no man's land. He just can't get any traction whatsoever. There's no way for him to distinguish himself in any way from any of the front runners and get any attention. So my prediction would be Scott may be one of the next ones to drop out. Obviously, Carson's going to stay at the top, so is Trump, and our buddy Ted Cruz, I think, is going to stay in the top of the second tier, but he's going to be in it for the long haul.
The interesting thing to note, too, fellas, is that Hillary Clinton seems to be in grave, grave trouble. For the first time, her support has dropped below 50% in the post-ABC survey, with the biggest decline coming among the white women. Sam, what does that say to you?
Well, what it says to me is that, again, these fluid groups, millennials, youngers, women as groups, black, Latinos as groups. These, I think all of these are shifting around, Gary. I think the voting blocks, I think the interest perspectives that we've had longstanding, everybody is a little bit up in the air relative what to do, and I don't think anybody has a lock on any of them right now.
Well, it's far out. You know, who knows what we're going to be looking at next year at this time. But ladies and gentlemen, we do want to encourage you to continue to pray, because we are looking for a president the next time who not only can lead this nation from a good economic and foreign policy and home domestic policy perspective, but also one who can lead us spiritually. And, Dave, it was interesting to note that over the weekend, Pastor Jeffries of the First Baptist Church of Dallas actually said, you know, evangelicals are crying out for a man who will lead us, or a person who will lead us, spiritually speaking. I thought that was a pretty good statement.
Well, Gary, it was, and I think he's hit the nail squarely on the head. Right here in Indiana, this is basically a fairly conservative state and a very conservative part of the state. And to talk to people that are in the Christian community, they are crying out for leadership. I would say that's the number one thing they're looking for. They're tired of a president who has been a lot of talk and very little action. And for that reason, gentlemen, we've talked about it before, but it's being underscored again to me as I talk to folks here. The appreciation for Donald Trump is that he is perceived as a leader. Obviously, we've got a long way to go, and the spiritual component is going to be vitally important to the Christian community, the evangelical community. But right now, the number one thing on people's minds and on their hearts is this leadership component.
It is indeed. Well, we'll keep you informed, ladies and gentlemen, so you'll want to be here every day, Monday through Friday. When we come back, we are going to be having with us Pastor Ghassan Thomas, an Iraqi pastor, and we're going to be talking a little bit about what's going on over there in the Middle East from his perspective. He is a great authority on these things, so you will not want to go away. We'll take a break, but in about 4 minutes, we will be back with more of Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. Stay tuned.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for everyone. every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The release of a series of videos exposing terrible atrocities committed by Planned Parenthood in the name of reproductive health or the right to choose has awakened many to the truth of abortion and is stirring calls to restore protection for all innocent human life from conception until natural death. It's being described as a Wilberforce moment, so named for William Wilberforce, the British Member of Parliament, whose Christian faith led him to take a stand against the slave trade. On October 30th, we're hosting Eric Metaxas as the keynote speaker for our Friends of the Family Banquet. Eric Metaxas is the best-selling biographer of Wilberforce and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, two men who demonstrated the duty of Christians to stand up against the evil in their day. For more information about our Friends of the Family Banquet, go to pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure, if you want.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing too?
I don't see why.
What about a bike ride? No, I want to fish.
Okay.
I've never been fishing.
Honey, we can do it all.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not.
Is it going to be long?
No, sweetie.
I bet it takes forever.
It's not that far.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already? No way! Come on, come on.
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Also, find fun activities to do like boating and biking or camping and hiking, plus much more. It's all right in your naturehood. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and on behalf of Sam Rohrer and David Kistler, I am Gary Dahl, and we are delighted to have you there with us. We encourage you to continue to join us every Monday through Friday at this same time on this same radio station as we continue to keep you updated on what's going on in the nation and around the world from the biblical perspective, and of course, as it relates to the United States of America, from the constitutional perspective as well. We encourage you to go to our radio website, which is standinthegapradio.com, and learn more about this ministry, that is this radio ministry, as well as the other two radio programs we produce. And you can even learn about Sam and Dave and myself there, as well as correspond with us. And we would encourage you to do that. Well, we are delighted at this particular point to have with us Pastor Ghassan Thomas, who is, of course, an Iraqi pastor. And Sam, why don't you just give us a little bit more information on Pastor Thomas, and then we're going to enjoy talking with him about things that are taking place over in the Middle East.
Yeah, absolutely, Gary. Yes, we are thrilled to introduce to our audience across the country here Pastor Thomas, and he has been across the country here. I'm not going to take a lot of time saying things that he can say better, probably himself. So I'm just going to go to you right now, Pastor Thomas, welcome you officially to Staying in the Gap today. I'd like you to introduce yourself briefly and share just a little bit about how you came to faith in Christ, and just briefly what took you into the ministry. And then we want to start walking down the road there and getting a good sense of what's really happening on the ground with our Christian brothers and sisters in Iraq. So welcome to the program, and please introduce yourself more fully.
Thank you so much, Sam. My name is Ghassan Thomas. I'm a persecuted pastor from Baghdad. I became a Christian in 1991, and that day I promised my Lord, I don't like to be just a Christian. I love to serve Him in this Islamic country. And God opened the door in many ways under Saddam Hussein regime, and after that, when God sent the freedom through America to Iraq, I opened the largest church in Baghdad, and I opened a big sign up the building, Jesus is the light of the world. And God used me to plant many churches in Iraq, but it makes me a target from the terrorists. After that, I became a refugee in Turkey, and I plant churches there with the refugees in Turkey. And after that, I moved to Australia through the United Nations after 2 years, and I start go back and forth training those refugees, Syrian refugees, Iraqi refugees, to make them a new Christian leaders. When they go to any country, they start a new churches there.
Pastor Thomas, that's a great introduction. You've given us a good handle. Let me walk right into the circumstances here and ask you perhaps a difficult question, and that is this. When Saddam Hussein was in power in Iraq, was there some semblance of freedom for Christians in Iraq at that point? Was the liberation, quote unquote, of Iraq something that really was good for believers there? Or how does that take and compare to what's now in place there? Just kind of put that in perspective for us, because we hear so much in the news. It's hard to get a handle on it. Tell us what it's really like there for a believer pre the removal of Saddam Hussein to now in this current circumstance.
Good question, but because I'm from there and I'm inside, I can give you the truth. No, just the media said it was a freedom. It was a freedom just in the church. You can go and worship inside the church. But we are many groups. We start a prayer meeting in our house. They took us. They put us in the jail. Some of us, they broke their arms, their legs, and some of them died because their faith. But it is not true when they said it was a freedom to open churches in Iraq. I suffered a lot under Saddam Hussein regime since 1991 until 2003. I tried a lot to open a church, but they refused. But when God sent the freedom through American army, that time I opened the largest church in Baghdad. My small group were 25 people. They became 1,000 people in my church. Isn't that amazing?
Pastor Thomas,
yes, it is.
Pastor Thomas, this is Dave Kistler, and we appreciate so much what you're doing, and we're thankful to have you on the program. I heard you just make a statement, and I love the
and
the
let me tell you another story. One day I was in my office, and came to my office in the church, and they put their guns on my head. They told me, "What are you trying to do? Change the religion in this country from Islam to Christianity?" I said, "No, I don't change the religion. I just want to change their hearts." They told me, "We will kill you now, but but God gave me special words for them. I said, you know what? If you kill me, I know where I will go. They said, we don't care where you will go. And after that, they told me in a funny way, by the way, where are you going if we kill you? I said, I will go to heaven. They laughed, and they said, we don't know our prophet Muhammad, where is he? How you are sure you will go to heaven? I said, okay, how you follow a prophet, he don't know, you don't know where is he? But Jesus told me I will be in heaven. I read some verses from Bible. They laughed on me. They told me, you are a crazy. We will leave you now, but we will come soon to kill you. I gave them Bibles, and they left me in a miracle way.
Pastor Gassam, this is Dave Kistler. Can you hear me?
Yes, I am.
I noticed you made a statement, and this is something that you made in one of your YouTube postings of one of your sermons, that it was the American military that brought freedom to Iraq. There has been a lot of criticism of what the United States military did in the takedown of Saddam Hussein. Could you speak to how vitally important it was that the American military forces came in there and did indeed bring freedom to the country of Iraq? Comment on how important and how vital that was for Christianity in that country.
Well, for sure, it's my pleasure to talk about this subject, but let me tell you, I will talk about the years when the American entered to Iraq, and after that, just 4 or 5 years only. I'm not talking about now, but I can tell you when American entered to Iraq, they built all the new schools, and they give us a new generators for the schools, they prepare the churches and the universities. That's the news. You cannot hear it in your Fox News or CNN. I can tell you because I live there. There is many times the military came, the American military came to my church, and they talked with me. They said, Ghassan, maybe you will not see us, but we are watching you and watching all the churches and the schools to protect you guys. Many times in a Christmas time and in Easter time, they said, containers full of gifts and Bibles to our children. That's a news you cannot hear it in your Fox News or CNN. But I live there, and I know what they did. And in a green zone, every Christmas, they invite all the pastors in Baghdad and do Christmas Eve with them. And we put our hand and pray for them also.
Pastor Thomas, this is Gary speaking. Right now, what is the state of Christianity in Iraq? Is it growing? Is it expanding? Or is it still experiencing some sort of oppression?
Now it is very difficult life. Many Christians, they left Iraq. They went to Syria, Turkey, to Jordan, because they threatened a lot. Many stories, tons of stories I have, because I go 3 or 4 times in a year to see, Turkey and Jordan to help those refugees, and this is a great chance for us now to go and help them in the right way and share the gospel with them, because now all the world saw what Islam religion has.
Well, the Islamic religion, we realize, is something to be very, very concerned about. I know we are concerned about it here in the United States of America, and as you, of course, understand what Islam is. What do you think Islam would like to do here in the United States of America?
Very good question. Okay, give me a chance, a few minutes to talk. This country, I love it from all my heart. No country support the Christian like America. I love when I read in your currency, in God we trust. This country starts with the foundation of the Bible, with William Penn. And I am sad now how, under the name of democracy, America opened the door for Islam to grow in this country. I am so sad. I just would like to remind all Americans, in God we trust. Now, many Americans trust everything except God. We should wake up. We should restore this wonderful country. To come back to the Bible, Islam start to grow here. And all of us, we know Islam against Bible, against Jesus Christ. But this country. God bless this country for a reason. When we go to the history in the Bible, when God called Abraham and meant a covenant with Abraham, he accidentally prospered Abraham. Why? To bless him, to use him, because Jesus will come from his generation. When God blessed the Israelian when they left Egypt, he prospered them for a reason.
That's right. And we're going to have to just cut you off for a moment there, Pastor Thomas. We'll be back with you. We are up against a hard break. But I appreciate you challenging the Americans to get back to the Bible. That's where we need to be. We will be back with further discussion with Pastor Ghassan Thomas from Iraq after the break. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. Please don't go away. You're listening to Stand in the Gap from the American Pastors Network.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
This is a Fox News Alert. I'm Paul Stevens. Delta State University in Cleveland, Mississippi on lockdown after reports of an active shooter on campus, a social media post from the school reporting one fatality. A Kentucky state trooper is dead, a suspect later killed by police. Trooper Joseph Cameron Ponder shot and killed after pursuing suspect Joseph Thomas Johnson Shanks following a traffic stop.
We're all just holding together the best we can and just continue to do our job.
Kentucky State Trooper Jay Thomas. Firefighters in Northern California battling the Valley Fire that exploded over the weekend, destroying homes and businesses.
All we have time to do, and barely have time to do, is to evacuate residents. Our primary responsibility is for the protection of life and property. And so while we're doing that, obviously we're diverting efforts away from the firefighting effort.
Cal Fire Director Ken Pimlott. And this is a Fox News Alert.
The first U-Turn conference sponsored by the American Pastors Network was a life-changing experience for pastors and Christian leaders throughout Pennsylvania and beyond. Now we have the opportunity to take this conference across America. A matching gift offer for $30,000 will be doubled to $60,000 in order to bring U-Turn events to many more states in 2016. All gifts made through September 30 will be doubled. Visit AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and go to the Donate button to make your immediate gift to equip pastors and all believers to stand in the gap for truth.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing there as we stand in the gap today here on this particular program that is produced by the American Pastors Network. We are delighted to have with us today Pastor Ghassan Thomas, who, of course, is an Iraqi pastor. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, I believe he said, back in 1991, and has been a refugee from Iraq, but the Lord is using him and has used him and continues to use him, and we are delighted to have him on the program today. Sam?
Gary, thanks. Pastor Thomas, we're glad to have you here with us, and we have a lot of questions for you. One, I'm going to ask you a tough one, perhaps, but it's one that I would like some real clarity from someone who is from that area, and that is this. It has to deal with the Kurds. The Kurds were often pursued by Saddam Hussein, as we know, when he was in power. But even right now, Turkey is bombing them. I have heard from some individuals who have worked with the Kurds directly, who have had some of their elders tell them that they were actually descendants of Israel, and they have really been acting there as defenders of Christianity and Israel in many regards, although not officially aligning themselves with Israel. It seems that nobody there really likes them. I want to know from you, who really are the Kurds, and what are their driving ambition, and are we seeing an effort right now to systematically destroy them as well?
Well, I used to serve in north of Iraq with the Kurds, and they are very open people. Many Kurds became a Christian, and they are very open with Israel also. They love Israel, and they love their way in a political way, I mean. I work with them. I mean, I start the churches there, and one day I met our president, not now, 5 or 7 years ago, Jalal Talabani, and he told me by joking, Ghassan, are you trying to change the religion in Kurdistan to make it a Christian? I laugh. And he told me, I will support you, Ghassan, go ahead. And he gave me 2 permissions to start the churches in Kurdistan, one in Duhok and one in Suli.
Well, that's most interesting, Brother Thomas. So you're not saying that they necessarily are directed, but you're saying they were open to the gospel, they were open to Christianity, and they were open to the ways of Israel. I know that Dave's got a question, a follow up on that, but I thank you for clarifying that a little bit for us, Dave.
Well, my question was this, and it goes back to part of what you asked, Sam. Are the Kurds, Pastor Thomas, in any way actual descendants of Israel, or are they just supportive of them politically and open to them in a political way?
Yes, they are.
They are descendants from Israel or just supporting Israel? Which, there, Pastor Thomas?
They exile Jews.
What's that? Repeat that, please.
They're exiled Jews?
They exile Jewish.
Okay, that is most interesting then, brother, because when I heard that input from somebody who worked with them directly, that was the first time I had ever heard of that. So you are saying that in fact the Kurds are exiled Israel Jews. That's amazing.
Yes. Well, yes.
It is amazing, and I really appreciate that myself because I wasn't clear on that either. I have a question for you, Pastor Thomas. Of course, you are a refugee, and we realize that there are a lot of refugees fleeing right now from Iraq to Jordan and now, of course, Syria to Europe and the United States. And this is creating a major problem for many, many countries. In your particular opinion, who really is fleeing? That is, who are these refugees? And in light of that, do you think that this is a clever strategy to relocate Muslims, or are there Christians and others truly seeking religious freedom who are part of those refugees? Your thoughts on that, sir?
Okay, very good question. I'm so happy to ask a persecuted pastor to encourage and tell his opinion with the pastors in the United States. Well, there is 2 parts leaving now their countries. The big part is the real people in need suffered under ISIS and under their rules. But there is a small group, they are ISIS, and acting as a refugees to go to America and Europe to start teach the Sharia law to, to change the rules in these countries. For this reason, United Nations cannot handle everything, and this is, I feel this is my time and our time to go there, to search there, to do some training, to share the gospel, to kind of recognize who is acting his story or who has a real story to help them and stand with them.
Well, you know, this is something that most of us have wondered, and some of us have thought that maybe, you know, some of these refugees really are supported by ISIS and, of course, consequently are infiltrating other countries, namely the United States of America. I mean, Sam, that's quite a revelation that Pastor Thomas has shared with us, something that maybe it's confirming what we believe, but it's quite a revelation.
Well, Gary, it is correct, and Brother Thomas, we have, I mean, as we watch what's happening around the world there, I mean, our doors have been open here to refugees from Syria. This country's brought in over 100,000 Somalians, and there seems to be no check whatsoever. Your commentary that there are embedded within these refugees agents of ISIS and others who have really looking for a pathway into this country or Western Europe, perhaps, is a tremendous statement. How can a person distinguish between a true Christian refugee and one who's playing the part? Because we got many churches that are being pulled into this now, who are wanting to stand up for humanitarian purposes. But how do we know the difference between them? What should be the response of us here in America to what's happening in this refugee crisis?
Yeah, very good question. Also, I will answer with two parts. Now we should do something until they are waiting with the United Nations to come to America. I'm talking now about the refugees when they come to America. We should do something there, help them, share the gospel with them, and we can recognize who is real in need. The second thing, we should do something, my dear pastors here in the United States, before the election, to make a new rule, to let them grow and practice or act the Sharia law. All of us, we saw now in Detroit how many people strike against to build a mosque inter or inside a Christian neighborhood. They are against us, and we should change the rules a little bit to make the Christianity breathe here in the United States again.
Pastor Thomas, this is Dave. Pastor, I want to ask you one question, and we're approaching a break here, so I'll have to ask it quickly, and you'll probably have to answer it quickly. What do you think is the motivation behind the Obama administration and their willingness to accept these refugees and not do the due diligence to determine if there are ISIS entities coming in? Do you see anything sinister in the Obama administration as their motivation for doing this?
Let me answer you from the Bible. The Bible told us to pray for all the people they have authority. And I am praying for this country to come back like we start with William Penn, under the foundation of the Bible. And I believe when God prospered this country, to make it as a Christian model country to help the refugees around the world. How, with which president, it is under God's authority, not my authority. But I will pray for every government lead this country, wonderful country.
Well, you know, certainly here in the United States of America, Pastor Thomas, we welcome people. We always have welcomed people. But we've come to the point right now where if you've got ISIS and others who may be terrorists trying to get into this nation to destroy us, who we are, don't you think it's important not only for us to pray, and we must pray, the Word of God tells us that, but every one of us must be vigilant and pray that our leaders make the right choices as to who they allow into the United States of America.
Yes, that's right.
And you know, Sam, sometimes it's very difficult to get our leaders to recognize that, you know?
Well, it is, Gary, and I think what Brother Thomas said, you know, making a requirement, for instance, that if you uphold Sharia, as an example, that you cannot participate. Well, we've talked about that on this program before, because these two philosophies are diametrically opposed to having freedom in this country. Brother Thomas, you have reached out to Muslims in the Middle East. Are you finding that many Muslims are desirous of knowing who Jesus Christ is, or are they all absolutely opposed? You only have just a couple of seconds to answer.
Oh, sure, yes. Now this is the time, because I told you, now all the world, they saw Islam religion, what has, and they feel, many of them, they feel shamed from their religion, and they come easy to Jesus Christ. This is my ministry, and I go overseas training them to be Christian leaders when they go overseas.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Ghassan Thomas, we want to thank you very, very much for being with us on Stand in the Gap today. God bless you and your ministry. Keep up the good work, and we'll be praying for you. Thank you very much for standing up for truth. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, but we will be back with more right after these messages, so you won't want to go away. I would encourage you, though, to pray for Pastor Thomas, as he has a great ministry and responsibility there that the Lord has laid on his shoulders. We will be back right after this.
Blessed is a man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, online at thelifegroup.org. For nearly 40 years, we have worked with believers and especially widows across the nation. We all need wisdom as it relates to our finances, taxes, and estate planning, but no one more than the widow, who must manage on her own. We are financial advisors committed to a biblical worldview. We assist with your income taxes and give advice to help keep your taxes low. We also carefully invest your money to provide a comfortable retirement income, and we work closely with Christian attorneys to draft a believer's will and powers of attorney. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800, or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing, as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Nations who reject God will get evil rulers, and God is clear that when the evil bear rule, the people mourn. Today, our leaders arrogantly scoff at God and shamelessly violate his commands. And as God said would happen, the righteous are mourning. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. At APN, we encourage pastors to speak as prophets and boldly shout forth the truth to our leaders. On Mount Carmel, King Ahab, the evil political ruler, accused Elijah, the man of God, of being the source of Israel's economic troubles because he called sin, sin. Elijah did what pastors today must do when he declared, "I'm not the reason our land is suffering, O Ahab. It's you and the others in leadership, because you've rejected God, his authority, and his commands." I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network, saying modern-day Elijahs are needed now more than ever. Will you encourage your pastor to speak like Elijah?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, could you help me with this Common Core lesson? I just can't get it. They are teaching us to use emotional words to get our way. In my Voices workbook, see this question? My mom always nags me or asks me to clean my room. I chose asks me, and it was wrong. They want me to say she nagged me, but I didn't think that was fair or nice. Why was I wrong?
Oh, honey, you were right.
That isn't nice. These Common Core lessons are awful.
Get Common Core out of your state. If you made this your one and only project, you could change the country. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And, of course, if you heard that discussion with Pastor Thomas, you'll find that there was a great warning there for us that as Christians we must be very, very concerned about how the Muslims want to actually take over this nation and to establish Sharia law in the United States of America. We need to pray that our presidential administration puts their foot down on that. I mean, we need to pray hard because it seems like every day we turn around, it seems like the Obama administration is more and more friendly to Islam. And that is something that's very, very dangerous and very concerning for those of us who love this nation, the United States of America. Certainly, we have a lot of reasons to pray for our country. We want to take a shift a little bit, though, as we come into this fourth segment. Probably most of you realize by now that Kentucky Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis has announced earlier this morning at a press conference that she will not prohibit her clerks from issuing same-sex marriage license, but she will not issue them herself. And even the ones that are issued by her assistants, or deputies, I guess they call them, will not have her name on them, nor her authority behind them. And, you know, the question that everybody is asking, including Davis herself, is whether or not these will be legal marriage license. And so I guess time will tell how the federal judge is going to respond to that. That would be Judge Browning, who, of course, was the one who literally was responsible for throwing Davis in jail. But, Sam, you know, here's a question that I have for you. Why do we issue marriage license anyway? Is that something that the government should be involved with?
Gary, you know, really, I would say, frankly, right out, no, not really. For a government to witness a properly conducted marriage would be one thing. But see, marriages have always been under the auspices or jurisdiction of the church, and the involvement in government in granting marriage licenses fairly recent in the scheme of things. And by and large, the reason for civil government involvement is to help perhaps clarify the legal things relative to the to estates and the dispensing of property and all of that kind of thing. But I tell you, any time, Gary, we take what God has placed under a jurisdiction, be it of the family, and stick it in government, or of the church relative to marriage, and move it over for whatever reason into a wrong jurisdiction, we always have trouble. And I think that's really what's happened in this matter of marriage. We've entangled marriage, which is God's institution, within that of civil government that, frankly, wants to do their own thing and make marriage what they want to make rather than what God wants to make. And we've got a bad alliance there.
Do you know any history behind that? I mean, really, yeah, I agree with you. There's no doubt about it, but that marriage should be something that's under the jurisdiction of the church. When did it become a part of state law? Do you know anything about that, Sam?
Not sufficiently to be able to make any specific quotes here on the program right now, but it was not always the case. That is clear. And the involvement in civil government did have a beginning, but that's all I can venture right now. I think we ought to do a little bit of research and come back on it, because I think it's a good question, Gary, and one that would be good to share with our audience.
You know, Dave, when this thing began to develop with Kim Davis, there were many people who were saying, you know, she should just step down because she has the responsibility to uphold the law and the Constitution of Kentucky. The fact of the matter is, when she took her oath of office, why, same-sex marriage was not, as it were, legalized. In fact, it's still not a part of the Constitution of Kentucky, as I understand, because it was a decision by the Supreme Court, which really does not have the right to make a law. They just have the responsibility to interpret the law. But now that she was in jail, and she's out of jail, and she's back to work, once again, there are people who are saying, well, maybe she should just step down in light of, you know, the whole scenario of things. Of course, we encouraged her to stand firm before because of the fact that that would be one of the ways to proclaim her biblical position and to stand firm on that position. But has that changed? Should she stay in her office or should she step down from her office now in light of the recent developments, Dave?
Well, Gary, I don't think she should step down at all. She has been duly elected by the people there in the county in that part of Kentucky. And so she's an elected official, and she has First Amendment religious liberty rights just like anybody else does in the United States. And whether they work in the private sector or work in the public governmental sector really does not matter. The First Amendment rights apply. And Gary, I think it's quite a telling thing that she has said in this press conference today what she said, that she is not going to issue any marriage licenses herself. She's not going to stop those that are her deputy clerks from doing so, but the licenses even that they issue will not have her name nor her authority behind them. So in essence, Gary, she is doubling down on what literally got her put in jail to begin with. So I commend her. I think she's doing exactly the right thing. I think it's tragic that Christians across this country are condemning her, saying she ought to step down. No, she shouldn't step down at all. She has every right to occupy that position. She was elected by the people, and so she should stay there and continue to exercise her religious liberty rights. She has every reason to do that.
Yeah, I think you're right, Dave. I would support that. And Sam, you know, it's interesting. She came up with this plan she would allow her deputy clerks to go ahead and issue gay marriage license if they choose. She would not take action against them, but those licenses would not have her name on them. So therefore, they would not go out under her title or under her name or under her authority. And so she has actually appealed to the state of Kentucky, to the governor of Kentucky, to make a ruling on this and to sort of stand with her. And as far as we know, up to this particular point, she has not yet heard back from either the state legislature or the Kentucky governor. I am wondering, Sam, why the government of Kentucky is being silent on this issue.
Well, I believe, Gary, that I think the legislature is not in session right at the moment as we speak. The governor, she has had quite a bit of support from the legislature. The governor, though, has not been willing to reconvene a special session to bring them back. And although he's been able to do it on his own through an action, he has refused to do so. So this has a solution by the executive branch of Kentucky, and that's probably would be the quickest place to do this.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we need to continue to pray for Kim Davis. You know, what she did was take an act of civil disobedience. She stood for the truth of the Word of God. And I think that we're going to find that as Christians, we're going to have to do this more and more as time goes on. It's important that we be ready for civil disobedience. And we may be talking about that more on this particular program as time goes on. Well, we want to thank you for joining us today. The Lord willing, we will be back with you in about another 23 hours with the Tuesday edition of Stand in the Gap Today. Until then, keep looking up. because we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.